Be true, not popular. Trouble ahead for those who do not follow our Redeemer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you give us the grace to handle life as it comes our way. Thank you that even when people are nasty to us because of your name, we can stand strong because we know that you are with us. You never leave us nor forsake us, and you help us to cope with whatever we need to handle by the grace and the love and the mercy that you show us every day in every way. In Jesus Christ's name. Greetings, saints. Our reading is Luke 6:22-26, message. Count yourself blessed every time someone cuts you down or throws you out, every time someone smears or blackens your name to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and that that person is uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Skip like a lamb if you like. For even though they don't like it, I do, and all heaven applauds. And know that you are in good company. My preachers and witnesses have always been treated like this. But it's trouble ahead if you think you have it made. What you have is all you'll ever get. And it's trouble ahead if you're satisfied with yourself. Yourself will not satisfy you for long. And it's trouble ahead if you think life's all fun and games. There's suffering to be met, and you're going to meet it. There's trouble ahead when you live only for the approval of others, saying what flatters them, doing what indulges them. Popularity contests are not truth contests. Look how many scoundrel preachers were approved by your ancestors. Your task is to be true, not popular. So here we see the contrast between follower of our loving Redeemer and the follower of the world. Remember, if you're not following Christ, you are following the enemy. There's no middle ground. There's no sitting on the fence. Some translations, instead of treating life like fun and games, it says those who laugh. Now, there's nothing wrong with laughter. In fact, I think laughter is good for the soul. What it's referring to here is the arrogant laughter, the unkind laughter of people who are stuck up and feel proud about themselves and that are treating other people with disrespect and basically being nasty. And about being satisfied with yourself, the other translations say when you're full, and then it says you shall hunger. That is a selfish fullness. It's not the fact that you've eaten a meal and your tummy is now full. It is the fact of looking after your own needs and disregarding the needs of others. Likewise, when it refers to those who think they have it made, it refers in other translations to those who are rich. Money is not evil in and of itself. The love of money is very dangerous, but it's when you are selfish with what you have that this is referring to those who are selfish with what they have. And when it speaks of looking for the approval of others, it's the motivation behind your actions. When you're doing it for the approval of people, then that is what is referred to elsewhere in scripture as clay and straw and rubble. In contrast to what the world sees as success and riches and popularity, the contrast to that is in verse 22. It says in the other translations, blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. So when we suffer for doing good, then God takes care of us and he blesses us. The difference between the way of the world and the way of God is highlighted in Proverbs 14:12-14, message. There's a way of life that looks harmless enough. Look again. It leads straight to hell. Sure, those people appear to be having a good time, but all that laughter will end in heartbreak. A mean person gets paid back in meanness, a gracious person in grace. So you can see that the way of the world is very self-centered and it doesn't end up well. Now, we're not new to having trouble. It happened to David and he told God about it, and it was recorded in Psalm 22:1-5 in KJV. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. Here we can see David was going through a rough patch and he cried out to God and he felt like God was far from him. Although God never leaves us nor forsakes us, sometimes our feelings tell us that we feel distant from him. And sometimes our soul puts distance between us and God, but then we are the ones that have moved away from God, not the other way around. Our spirit has been made righteous by the blood of Christ because we are children of God, because we have accepted that free gift of salvation. But our soul is still a work in progress, and sometimes the soul lets us down in the way of making us feel unloved or feel disappointed in God, even when he is faithful and true and beautiful. Of course, this first part of Psalm 22 is what Jesus cried out on the cross when he felt the weight of the sin on him and that ugliness and the separation between him and his Father must have been unbearable, and this is why he said it. And this time his feelings were not lying to him. He felt that separation because of our sin upon him that had never ever happened before in all eternity, and it hasn't ever happened since, and it won't ever happen again, because he died once for all for everybody's sin, past, present and future. David wrote another psalm, and that is Psalm 37, verse 7 in KJV. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. So here, David is encouraging himself and others to trust in God, to wait patiently for him, and not to fret because of the seemingly easy life of some of the wicked people. Remember their end, they will get what they deserve, unless of course they turn to Christ, in which case Jesus already paid for what they deserve, just like he's paid for what you and I deserve. There's another psalm, Psalm 73. It's a little bit long, so I'm just going to read the beginning and the end of it. The middle section is about complaints and self-pity, so I'm just going to leave that out. So it's Psalm 73, verse 1 to 3, and 17 to 28, TPT. This was written by Asaph. No one can deny it. God is really good to Israel and to all those with pure hearts. But I nearly missed seeing it for myself. Here's my story. I narrowly missed losing it all. I was stumbling over what I saw the wicked doing. For when I saw the boasters with such wealth and prosperity, I became jealous over their smug security. Then verses 4 to 16 is where he just complains and he expresses self-pity. Then verse 17 carries on. But then one day I was brought into the sanctuaries of God, and in the light of glory my distorted perspective vanished. Then I understood that the destiny of the wicked was near. They are the ones who are on the slippery path, and God will suddenly let them slide off into destruction to be consumed with terrors forever. Might be describing hell. It will be an instant end to all their life of ease. Blink of the eye, and they are swept away by sudden calamity. They are all nothing more than momentary monarchs, soon to disappear like a dream when one awakes. When the rooster crows, Lord God, you'll despise their life of fantasies. When I saw all of this, what turmoil filled my heart, piercing my opinions with your truth. I was so stupid. I was senseless and ignorant, acting like a brute beast before you, Lord. Yet, in spite of all this, I still belong to you. You hold me by my right hand. You lead me with your secret wisdom, and following you brings me into your brightness and glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? You're all I want. No one on earth means as much to me as you. Lord, so many times I fail. I fall into disgrace. But when I trust in you, I have a strong and glorious presence, protecting and anointing me. Forever you're all I need. Those who abandon the worship of God will perish. The false and unfaithful will be silenced, never heard from again. But I'll keep coming closer and closer to you, Lord Yahweh, for your name is good to me. I'll keep telling the world of your awesome works, my faithful and glorious God. So yes, sometimes we do have hard times, and sometimes we need to pour out our anguish to God with all respect and humility, but we got to remember to always return to a place of worship, because our God is faithful, our God is good, and we need to keep telling the world of His awesome works, because He is our faithful and glorious God. And way back in the olden days, Moses is another one who chose the temporary hardship during his life on planet Earth for the eternal rewards promised by God. It's in Hebrews 11:24-26. By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, because he preferred to endure the hardship of the people of God rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of the Christ, that is, the rebuke he would suffer for his faithful obedience to God, to be greater wealth than all the treasures of Egypt, for he looked ahead to the reward promised by God. This is referring to Exodus 2, verse 10 and 15. So no matter what we go through in our physical life on earth, we have the promise, the hope of that beautiful reward. No matter what's happened in our lives, no matter how good or bad or indifferent our experiences have been, our situation has been, the fact is that because we continue to cling to our loving Heavenly Father, that we can expect that beauty that He promises in His Word. Jesus Himself was encouraging His apostles and disciples in John 16, verse 12-22, TPT. There is so much more I would like to say to you, but it's more than you can grasp at this moment. But when the truth-giving Spirit comes, He will unveil the reality of every truth within you. He won't speak on His own, but only what He hears from the Father, and He will reveal prophetically to you what is to come. He will glorify Me on the earth, for He will receive from Me what is Mine, and reveal it to you. Everything that belongs to the Father belongs to Me. That's why I say that the Divine Encourager will receive what is Mine and reveal it to you. Soon you won't see Me any longer, but then after a little while you will see Me in a new way. Some of the disciples asked each other, "What does He mean, soon you won't see Me, and a little while after that you will see Me in a new way? And what does He mean, because I'm going to My Father?" So they kept on repeating, "What's the meaning of a little while? We have no clue what He's talking about." Jesus knew what they were thinking, and it was obvious that they were anxious to ask Him what He had meant. So He spoke up and said, "Let me make it quite clear. You will weep and be overcome with grief over what happens to Me. The unbelieving world will be happy, while you will be filled with sorrow. But know this, your sadness will turn into joy when you see Me again." Just like a woman giving birth experiences intense labor pains in delivering her baby, yet after the child is born, she quickly forgets what she went through because of the overwhelming joy of knowing that a new baby has been born into the world. So will you also pass through a time of intense sorrow when I am taken from you, but you will see Me again, and then your hearts will burst with joy, with no one being able to take it from you. Now we all know He was talking about His crucifixion and subsequent resurrection, where they would be horrified and terrified by the prospect of His death on the cross. And the joy that they experienced after His resurrection was unrivaled and unstoppable, and no one could take away from them. And we have this same hope, that we will also experience that deep, undestroyable joy, indestructible joy, when we see Him face to face. And even now, while we are living on planet Earth, while we are facing circumstances and trials and tribulations, we can still have that hope, we can still experience that joy, because we know that He loves us and that He is taking care of us on a day-to-day basis, and He will never leave us nor forsake us, so we can continue to shine our lights.